The scripture reading for this evening will be taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, and then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
Good evening. It's a great privilege to be in your presence again. And I need to say, first of all, thank you for all who have been praying on behalf of my son, who is now at home. So he's out from the hospital, and his blood sugar is under control. Thank you for your prayers. I want to thank Almighty God for bringing us together as his dear children. Let us remember that as Christians, we have a great blessing. A blessing that we enjoy. The opportunity to have fellowship with other Christians. Just to be able to have the kind of relationship that sometimes surpasses the relationship that you might have with your own biological brother or sister. You know, the Lord at one time he said that some of us would experience leaving father, mother, brothers, sisters, but when we come to Christ, these things we will find. We'll find relationship like that of a brother, like that of a sister, even that of parents. It's a double blessing when you have your parents a Christian, you are a Christian, brothers and sisters are Christian, and all share in that great blessing that we have in Christ. The Apostle Paul, as he dealt with several problems in the book of Ephesians, but he summarizes in the, if we may call it a summary, towards the end of the chapter 4. And he mentions some things there that are real interesting. Sometimes relationships, even in the church, do go sour. But we are not left without solutions as to how to deal with these things when they come upon us. He dealt with them with the Ephesian church. And at some experiences which he mentioned, he is telling us here now that God has given us a way to resolve difficulties. In Ephesians 4, let's go that passage over and then get into our lesson. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgive you. If we take the time to do maybe a word study on what Paul was saying here, we'd like to look at the phrase put away from you. I was made to understand that when the Greek used the term put away from you, it came from when a ship weighed anchor and is about to sail away from shore. So what we need to learn to do, Paul says you got to pull up anchor. And there are some things that you have to sail away from spiritually. And so he mentions these things that we need to sail away from. The first of these, he says, bitterness. We need to learn to sail away from bitterness. Paul says we are to put away bitterness. Why? Well, it would be good if we would try to understand what bitterness is. Bitterness is defined as a condition of extreme wickedness. While sometimes we think if something is bitter, it doesn't taste good, as in medicine. Give you a little experience. Having come from the old school, the old way, during the time where it seems as though the fathers and the mothers were the doctors in the family, get all of these bush medicine, as they call it, boil up these things, and sometimes I remember my father, that he had a special mix. And boy, didn't like the taste. But you know, you couldn't refuse. You had to drink it. I tell you what they did. The little ones who didn't like medicine, one spoonful, a teaspoonful, you're going to drink it. No, you cry. Okay, since you don't want to drink it willingly, then let's help you. Hold that nose. And once the nose is pinched, you have to open your mouth. There goes the medicine. Bitter taste. But I guess it did work. That's not the kind of bitterness that Paul is talking about. The bitterness here, as we see, extreme wickedness. This word is used several times, like in the book of Acts, We see in chapter 8, in about verse 23, where Simon the sorcerer taught that he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, in which he had not part or lot. And the Apostle Peter used the same word that you are in the gall of bitterness. In other words, Simon, this is extreme wickedness. And from this, the Apostle Paul said, we must sail away. Get away from such things. Put it away from among you. Why is it important to put away this extreme wickedness? As we find in the Hebrew letter, the Hebrew writer says that we should not allow anything to take root in our lives. So he says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. We are not supposed to allow this root of bitterness. And if bitterness takes root, you know that there's going to be trouble. If it takes root, it's going to bloom. And when it blooms, it's going to produce some fruit that are not going to be good. And so he says, put away from among you these things. It is better for us to have peace. And this is the kind of relationship that we want to have in the Lord's body, in the Lord's church. When any member of the church begins to develop disagreeable, sour, harsh, hostile, any kind of attitude like that, it's problem time. We should not allow these things to be a part of our lives. And usually when this kind of attitude is exhibited, you know, we have what you may call a backlash. Because if you come at me one way, the natural tendency, except we be mature Christians, is to fight back. We should not have this attitude. Otherwise, it's going to multiply and bring some things upon the church that is going to make the work of the elders difficult. And God has warned us about that, that we should not behave in a way that would bring additional burden upon the eldership. Make it easy on the leadership. But instead of just staying there, Paul goes on. And he said that there are some other things that you need to put away from you. And we'll try to bring these three together. Wrath, anger, and clamor. Said that these words have similar meanings. So these next three words, Paul tells us to put away wrath, to put away anger, to put away clamor. And vine, some people pronounce him vine, but I was told that it is vine. And vine, he describes it this way. The word wrath He says it's a hot anger, a passion. It's interesting that this same word is translated by the word fierceness. In Revelation chapter 16 and 19. Fierceness, which is the fierceness of God's wrath. We do not want that to happen to us. The word wrath in this book of Revelation, thus it is telling us, as in combination with what is used in Ephesians 4, wrath is being fierce, being filled with rage. It has to do with losing or showing one's temper. Losing your temper. Flying off at the handle, as they say. In his words studies, the Greek New Testament makes some interesting statements, and I'd like to deal with this a little if you'd permit me to get into that. Wrath is the distinguishing or is distinguished from anger. In respect, wrath indicates a more agitated condition. It's an agitated condition of the feeling, an outburst. Is wrath with an inward indication, while anger suggests a more settled and abiding condition. So wrath comes up with a flare, but the anger is more subverted. But in the anger, you want revenge. Paul says, put away from among you these things. Put away wrath. Put away anger. Anger, therefore, is the active emotion. Wrath may issue in revenge, blazed up, it's like a fire, it's raging, comes up quickly. We are saying it said it comes like Miss Janie's fire. Miss Janie's fire means that it's up, flares up, and then it dies down. But not so when it comes to the anger. Be angry and sin not. It is characteristic that it quickly blazes up, but then it dies down. That is not necessarily implied, it says, in each case. Why do you say that? Because it says anger, when you be angry or you become angry about something and later you regret it. That's what it's talking about. You're angry because you allow it to flare up, didn't give thought, and then it dies down. And then you say, you know, I said something there. I really didn't mean it. How many times do we have that kind of experience? Saying something because you didn't think it through. We say this is a time when you need to learn to count to 10. Swift to hear. That's what James says we should do in dealing with it. Swift to hear and slow to speak. That's how we overcome this business of anger. Anger, however, is a kind of thing where we dwell and it, we kind of let it sim. And then it takes control. It's where we worry about it. We have our minds on it. And then we begin to plan how to take revenge. What did Paul say to do? He says, put away from among you. Don't let it be a part of your life. Although both words, as we see here, are used in the Bible in reference to God's anger and his wrath. And we can be angry, as the Bible gives us that permission. Be angry and sin not. That's why James says you can control it. Taking the time to listen. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. This is true in whatever the relationship. It is true in marriages. It is true in parent-children relationship. It is true at school. It is true on the job. Wherever you go, it's a daily occurrence. And more so, it is true in the church among brothers and sisters in Christ. Beloved, as the Apostle Paul would say in Romans, the 12th chapter and the 19th verse, he says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. See, that's how we recognize as the don't sin. Don't try to take vengeance, which is difficult. I'm not here trying to tell you that this is an easy thing to do. It's a difficult thing because naturally, if somebody hurt you, you want to hurt them back. But what did God say about that? God says, that's my job. See, we got to realize in our lives that there are certain things for us to do, and there are some things that belong to God. And taking vengeance does not, God never did give that to us. He says, it's mine. It's being presumptuous if you want to take vengeance. Then you're just telling God you don't know how to deal with this situation. God, you just move aside and let me handle it. He hurt me, I'm going to hurt him back. But God says no. And Paul, in understanding that, he says, put away from among you these things. Let God be glorified. You can't glorify God if you try to step into God's place. So let God be glorified. Then we have the word clamor. And the word clamor here, it says that the word literally means to cry out. Well, we find an example in the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter, with Paul. This outburst said that Paul, he was preaching and he preached about the resurrection. And as he preached about the resurrection, there are two groups of people here who were really angry. So much so that they would have torn Paul apart. Sadducees and the Pharisees. And even the authority had to step in lest Paul be pulled apart because of the anger that laid within these folks about the resurrection of the dead. One, and you know the Sadducees didn't believe in the angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, but the Pharisees did. That really got them going. And then Paul said, it's not just these things, but look at the progression. Now he says, evil speaking. You see how one upon the other can compound a situation? And now he says, don't let evil speaking be a part of that. If someone does you wrong, let's say it's a member, let's say it's a brother, let's say it's a sister, how do you handle the situation? Instead of taking care of it the way that God said that we should, sometimes we find ourselves speaking what? Evil. Well, the word here again, that also has a meaning. In evil speaking, this word comes from, or is also translated, blasphemy. So we can speak evil against God. We can also speak evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be careful what you say. We should always follow this guideline. If you are doubtful about what you are about to say, the best thing is not to say it. To avoid speaking evil of a brother or sister, destroying characters. If you do not have the information, leave it alone. We find that the tone in the political arena right now is a blasphemous tone, speaking evil one against the other. This ought not to be in the Lord's church, among God's people. Let me also warn, one of the areas in which sometimes people find themselves speaking evil is when there is not agreement with the decisions that the leadership has made. And so you got some folks going out speaking things that they ought not. God gave us leadership for a purpose. I do not speak now of leadership in the world. I speak of leadership in the church, the elders don't speak evil of their decisions that they make. Don't destroy the church, because once you start sowing that evil seed, it will become fruitful. And that would be not good. That will not be good for any of us. Malice. I want to bring us close to the end here. Paul says we are to put away malice. Well, what is malice? Malice is the attitude that is always looking out for opportunities or seeking revenge by hurting or destroying someone who has hurt you. Paul says, put away the malice. In Webster, he defines it as the desire to see another suffer. And so, you take pleasure, having joy in seeing somebody else suffer? Well, I think he deserves it, because remember what God said. Don't rejoice over evil. Have pleasure in somebody suffering. You don't wish pain and injury. Instead, Jesus said, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsty, give him a drink. And what else did he say? Pray for them that despitefully use you. See, there is the answer in Scripture. And the more we avail ourselves to the answers that God gives, the easier it would be for us to live a successful Christian life. So if you are ready to put away some things from you, things that you've been struggling with, there's no better time than now. God says to put them away. Paul says to put them away. And now I'm telling you to put them away, because it's the right thing to do. Turn things over to God. And if you're here this evening, you are not a child of God, you do not have that relationship with God, I invite you to turn your life over to God by trusting Him. That is, having faith in Him, repenting of your sins and confessing the glorious name of Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. As a child of God, if you have strayed, there's no better time to make things right with God as we stand, sing the song that has been chosen.